My name is John Archer. For those of you who know me, I'm not the pastor. I'm just on the preaching team. Be glad I'm not the pastor. Because if you called me, you would not get me. You would get, if it's an emergency, say one. Sorry, I did not hear that. Repeat. Say one. Then you would hear, I'll have two bean burritos. John, is that you? And some youth kids were hanging out after church one day, and one of the kids goes, man, I got a sermon. He goes, I got a sermon. He goes, I'm called to preach. And this other kid, you know how boys are, they go, what is it? He goes, a little boy went in the backyard and saw a rabbit, and he started chasing it. And they go, that's it. Oh, you're not called to preach. He goes, let me try this again. A little boy, he went in the backyard, and he saw a rabbit. They go, man, you are called to preach. See, sometimes men need to raise their voices, and pastors will say, I'm preacher better than you say. And then they say, man, not because they get it, just because they need the feedback. Or touch three people. See, Jesus didn't need to do that. He chased out the money changers. He threw over the tables with the whip, and he had just as much power as when the woman was caught in the midst of adultery. And they brought the woman to Jesus, and they said, the law says. And Jesus just stooped down, and he touched the dirt. Same way he made man. He just touched down, and he touched the dirt. I wonder what he was thinking. Didn't throw a fist. Didn't raise a voice. Didn't throw any tables, and they all scattered over his words. Whoever doesn't have any sin can throw the first stone. Now, he did not say, you can throw a stone if you don't have any sin. No, I just need one of you not to have a sin. He can throw the stone. There wasn't a one. He says, woman, it's the same power. He has the same power when he's the lion, or he's the same power when he's the lamb. Amen. That's not the message. This morning, some sermons are harder to carry than others. Not because this is a hard message. This is a very encouraging message. It's just the burden is bigger. Now, it's not the full burden of the Lord. There's people that pray for souls, God gives them seasons and times where they weep. No one carries what God carries. You wouldn't be able to handle it. You would never get to sleep. See, God has a big heart, and he shares his heart with people. And some, it's on the street, and some, it's foreigners, and some, it's this. He has a big heart, and he shares a piece of his heart with you. See, men see crowds, but Jesus sees people. There's people with a healing gift, but they don't care about the people that got healed. Jesus wasn't like that. He had compassion for people, and he would cry. He'd say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how are you together? But I believe today God wants to open our eyes. See, some messages, we learn things, and it's steps and principles, but it's never about that with God. It's to know him. And so our mind tries to tell our heart. But I believe this afternoon God wants to do two things. I believe he wants to open the eyes of our heart and flood it with thoughts to our mind. See, it's different. It's different when he opens the eyes of your heart. Paul says that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. See, sometimes our mind's trying to convince our heart that he's faithful, that he's good. But the Bible says in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He says, when I saw the Lord high and lifted up, there was a response. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Nobody had to tell him, Isaiah, you're a man of unclean lips. He responded to what he saw. And see, when God shows you things about your life, there's a response. And it's not a response of what you to do. This is not a response of what you need to do today. The response will be, he's going to purify your faith. We're going to look at an aspect of the cross, not about salvation. Said, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips amidst the unclean. And God responded and took a living coal. Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I called you a prophet from the womb. I set you apart. And he says, I'm too young. And God says, you're not too young. Everywhere I send you, you will go. Everything I say, you will tell you to say, you will say. And he says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he opened Jeremiah's eyes. And then Jeremiah began to describe what he sees. And he starts walking in what he just said he was disqualified to do. Right. Same conversation, not a CD series. It wasn't a conference. It was the same conversation with God. He heard the word. God touched his mouth. And then he saw it. He opened his eyes. See, we need the eyes of our heart open. And I'm not talking about the eyes of what you want to visualize. Jesus was not and is not a motivational speaker. Because they say, you can, you can, you can. And Jesus says, you can do nothing without me. We need to change the mission statement. Because you go to motivational speakers, you can do what you want, and you can do what you want, and you can do what you want. Jesus says, you can do nothing without me, nothing of significance. When you die, the buildings, the money, the cars will be for nothing. You can do nothing without me. He would not be on Oprah Winfrey today if he was a pastor. If you die. So the disciples, let's get together with Jesus. Peter, you do it. We'll all be at the campfire. We'll make it natural. You bring it up, and we'll just agree. Yeah, Jesus, you know? You just say, Because we're losing people. You're telling rich people to give up everything. You're telling people to die. You're telling people to drink your blood. You're losing people. We want to gather because we care about crowds and Jesus cares about people. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. What good is it to be if a man calls you a success and you get before God and he says failure? That stamp is on eternity. So here's Moses. Then Moses disqualified himself. Here's Jeremiah, says, I'm too young. Moses says, I'm too old. Here's the truth. Satan never disqualified anybody. He just convinces people that they are. There's missionaries that have come back early because they had no effect. He says, you're not a missionary. He just believed the lie. They were disqualified. Satan doesn't disqualify anybody. He just convinces them that they are. Moses says, I'm too young. God says, what do you see? Open your eyes. The prophet told the serpent, he says, Lord, open his eyes. We need the eyes of our heart opened. Our understanding where we see like he sees. And then our heart floods our mind with thoughts, not our mind trying to convince our heart. Moses said he was too old. He can't speak. And God says, throw the staff down. He saw the snake. Put your hand in and take it out. I saw the leprosy. John, the revelation, I heard a voice and I saw. Paul saw the light. There's things that God wants us to see. After Jesus rose from the dead, the road to Emmaus, he's walking with two people. Jesus is talking to them. They don't know it's Jesus. The Bible says that their eyes are darkened. But afterwards, they're sitting at the table. The Bible says he has opened their eyes and they knew him. See, we need our eyes open to what God wants us to do. Amen? So that's what I believe God was going to do. He's going to show us an aspect of the cross for the redeemed, and it's going to increase our faith, because when I say increase our faith, really it's purify. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, they thought they had great faith, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. We want great faith. All these seminaries, super faith, God faith, next level faith, third level faith, Apostle Paul faith. So they come to Jesus, and this is a faith seminar in the Bible, and they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain, as a mustard seed. No, Jesus, they knew what a mustard seed was. They don't need to show. No, we have oak tree faith. No, Jesus says, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and you say, but everybody says, I say this, and do not doubt. It's the doubt. He wants to get the doubt out. So today he's going to open our eyes to an aspect on the cross. We're going to look at the cross. If he gave you Jesus, why wouldn't he give you X? He gave everything with Jesus. He didn't hold anything back. And so the title of this sermon is simply, The Cross Over. The cross over. From the cross, you can go over, and at the cross, it can be over. At the cross, the depression can be over, and at the cross, you can go over. And we're going to look at the cross. Everything that you ask for is outside the cross, is secondary to that. He gave you Jesus, and I'm talking about in his will, if we ask things according to his will. So we already established that. We're not visualizing stuff that you want. You're saying, God, you show me what I am. Jeremiah, I've called you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah did not go to God. I declare I'm a prophet to the nations. Lord, he said, I declare you. And they said, Jeremiah, what? And Jeremiah starts walking in what he just said he was disqualified to do because his eyes were opened. When the eyes of our heart are understanding, now we get the doubt out. Now we have the pure faith. Everybody has a measure of faith, but Pastor Easy has the gift of faith. It's very different. God has put the faith in you to accomplish what he's called you to do. It's just the doubt. You don't need more faith. You just need less doubt. It's the second thing. It's the second thing. Did God really say, I lay hands for the sick? What if they don't get healed? It's the second thought that stops us. Give that money. What if I don't get it back? It's the second thought that stops us. And Jesus says, not if you just say, we got that down as charismatics. North, south, east, west. And don't doubt. Where do we doubt? In your heart. So first, I want to establish the cross. I'm not talking about, now, I'm going to use a scripture from the Old Testament that has nothing to do with the cross. So we think, but the cross is everywhere. John, have you ever preached that before? No. Have you heard it preached? No. But if you only do what's done before, you will never do what's never been done. And I'm not preaching so I can be agreeing with commentaries. But the Apostle Paul would do it over and over again. He says, as it is written. He would pull a scripture out of the Old Testament, apply it. Because Pastor Allen sang about it. See, it's not just the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the old and the now. See, it's always now. God wants to take what was then and make it now. 20 minutes from now, it'll still be now. 3 years from now, it'll still be now. 10 years from now, it'll still be now. It's always now. Now faith is, and he wants to take the old and make it now. And Paul says, you know Habakkuk, you know, the just shall live by faith. That's from Habakkuk. We quote it like Paul just made it up. He says, as it is written. And we just say, oh, you know, he's pulled from the, oh. And and theologians will say, Apostle Paul can do that, but you can't. No, I can by the Spirit. I'm not on, see, it's not about me being like the Apostle Paul. It's about God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can take a promise that was old and make it now. So we're going to look at a scripture in Isaiah. See, the cross is everywhere. When David was fighting Goliath, when David was fighting Goliath, it was like Jesus and Satan. It was a type and a shadow. David was a type and shadow, and Goliath was a type of Satan, and they all had the hordes, and there was only one that battled them. And Goliath came to David, and he says, you come at me with sticks. Sticks. It's the same thing Satan said on the hill of Golgotha. Just two sticks. One vertical, one horizontal. But it wasn't just the sticks. See, what Goliath didn't see was the stone. And what Satan didn't see on that hill was the chief cornerstone. Two sticks and a stone. Sticks and a stone. Goliath says, you come at me with sticks, and he despised him. And so Satan was on that hill, Golgotha. He was there. He entered Judas, and he was there at the plan. He just saw two sticks, but he didn't see the chief cornerstone. And there's Goliath looking at David. He just saw, you come at me with sticks. He didn't say sling. He said sticks, one vertical, one horizontal, but it was the stone that took his head off. And Jesus took his authority. The cross is everywhere. See, when I say the cross, I mean the cross, not a cross, some cross, any cross. I'm not talking about this denomination's cross where Jesus is not on it, but there's no power. I'm not talking about this denomination's cross where Jesus on it, but there's no victory. I'm not talking about the Muslim cross where at the last second Jesus was switched and it wasn't really Jesus. I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witness cross where it was the Archangel Michael. I'm not talking about the Mormon cross where it was the spirit brother of Lucifer. I'm talking about the cross. You better get that right. You better come to the right cross. You better get that right, or you will spend all of eternity wishing you did. Yeah. There's one cross, so I say the cross over. We're going to the cross today of Jesus. We're going to use a scripture from Isaiah. It says the redeemed cross over. It doesn't say cross over to be redeemed. God wants us, we're redeemed and we're crossing over. And every request that you have has the blood of Jesus on it. And when you put it next to the cross, why wouldn't he give you what you're asking for? All of hell tried to hold Jesus down. There's not one person who has ever faced all of hell, not the Apostle Paul. He's strategic. One third failed. That means two thirds didn't. For every one devil, there's two angels. Be happy. You know, a third of the angels fail. See, God doesn't make robots. In Isaiah, it says, I saw the seraphim going, holy, holy, holy. God did not create him going, say, make holy, holy, holy. I'm going to make you powerful so you can be in my presence, and I'm going to show you an aspect of myself. And that was their response because of what they saw. Holy, holy, holy. And he wants to show you who you really are. Jeremiah, you're a prophet. I'm too young. No, you're not. What do you see? And he starts talking to God. He starts walking in what he just thought he was disqualified to do. The cross over. At the cross, you can go over. And at the cross, it can be over. Whatever you need. Isaiah 51, 9, 10, 11 says, awake. Awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Keith, if you can put up the scripture, please. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? Today we're crossing over as the redeemed. We're not going to the cross to be redeemed. That's first, that's foremost, but the cross is just not about salvation. The cross has lost no power. The blood is still fresh. It's not something that just was an act. Jesus says, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished. So he went to heaven because of the cross. There's a huge difference. He's still making intercession for you. He's still walking planet Earth. He's still appearing to Muslims. He's still healing people. He's still saving the lost. Jesus says, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished. Lord, open our eyes. And the response is faith. Now our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now we're not just saying things because our mind knows scripture. We're saying it because we know it's true. God's good. God's going to do it. He's able. There's a huge difference from the heart to the mind, from the mind to the heart. Always trying to convince ourselves. That's good to start there, but we can't end there. We got to get the doubt out. So what changed because of the cross? Lots have changed. You know, before the fall of man, the Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. This is before the fall. But because of Jesus, it says in Revelation, he will make his home with us. There's no cool in the day. It's always. In Genesis, the tree of life was in one place. But because of the cross, in Revelation, it's in multiple places. It's in the midst, it's in the left, it's in the right. In Genesis, the tree of life has one fruit. In Revelation, it has 12 fruit every month because of the cross. Even the leaves, the Bible says, gives healing to the nations. The cross has changed everything. The cross. So we go there. We go to the cross where God, a man didn't die for me. An angel didn't. God gave everything and he gave his best. Now, what you need compared to the cross, because this is what happens. We look at what we're asking for. It's just like when someone gives, they always look at what they're giving. We look at what we're asking for and we think it's hard. It's hard for us to press in sometimes. It's hard for us to believe God. It's hard for us to push the thoughts out, but it's not hard for him. Don't get it twisted because it's hard for you to believe. It's hard for him to do. Don't get that twisted. It's hard for you, but it's not hard for him. The man says, I believe, help my unbelief. That's right. It's the unbelief that gets it. Don't think it's hard for God just because it was hard for you to believe. Well, I don't know. I'm too young. Jeremiah, what do you see? I see a branch of an almond tree. You seen right, Jeremiah, because I'm ready to perform my word. He says, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see that he kept talking to Jeremiah. See, we need to keep, he kept, Jeremiah was talking to the right one. So you just not need to talk to yourself. I'm no good. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too smart. Too dumb. But when you talk to God, everything changes. The woman at the well, at the heat of the day, because she didn't want other women around, she was getting water, and Jesus says, you know, give me some water. He starts talking to her, and he says, you know, if you knew who asked you, you would ask him for the living water. Where is this water? And Jesus started telling everything about her life. And he says, you know, that's true, you know. Go get your husband. I'm not married. That's true because you've had five husbands and the man you're with is not even your husband, which back then is, you know, now it's a reality show. Back then is, you know, that it's nothing. It was a terrible thing for her. And then she goes back and she goes, come meet a man that's told me everything I've ever known. Could this be the Messiah? In one conversation, she goes from an outcast to an evangelist. See, who are you talking to? In one conversation, she goes from an outcast to an evangelist because she sat next to Jesus. But we sit next to our thoughts, who we're not, what it will never be. But when you sit next to Jesus, when you have that right conversation with him, and he says, what do you see? And you agree with what he sees. Then in one conversation, see, Jeremiah started walking in the prophetic. He started walking in the prophetic. That same conversation. He's walking in what he just thought. He just told God he's disqualified for because God opened his eyes. Opened his eyes to what he wanted him to see. What if God opened your eyes to everything he's spoken over you? How would your life be different, friend? It would be greatly different. It would be greatly different. Because it's now, can we? It's we are. Now it's should we will. Now it's one day. No, it's coming. I wish. No, you'll see. Everything changes when your eyes are opened. The prophet told the servant, Lord, open his eyes. There's more with us than with them. He was at peace. Open his eyes, and he saw the chariots and the fire. Open his eyes. This is not the seven levels to faith. This is your heart being open, and all of a sudden the doubt gets out. Now you can do what he's called you to do, and you can see who you are. The Bible says when we get to heaven, we will know him as we are known. It's about knowing him, not principles, not formulas, not steps, not keys, not doors. It's about knowing him. But the eyes of your understanding be the wisdom of revelation and the knowledge of him. It's about knowing Jesus, not steps, not principles. Everything comes to the cross and flows out from that. The revival, huge revival about the Father's love. Where can you trace that river back to? The cross. Because Jesus died, the Father can embrace you. There's another revival. Great signs, wonders, and miracles. The book of Acts. Where can you trace that back to? The veil was ripped on Calvary. From the top to the bottom. From the crown, the stripes, the hands, the feet. From the top to the bottom, it was ripped. Back to the cross. Everything flows to the cross, and from out there it flows out. The cross is still living today. Everybody could receive Jesus at once and still be saved. He would have enough power. To all who received him, he gave them the power to be the children of God. Everybody at once could receive him. The cross never shakes. The blood never worries. It's still fresh. It's still carry. Imagine your prayer request with the blood of Jesus. What can you ask that's over Jesus? He already gave it all. As long as it's in his will, there's nothing that's preventing you. You want the depression to go? To the cross, it's nothing. You need healing? To the cross, it's nothing. You need your marriage fixed? To the cross, it's nothing. Quit looking at what we need and look at it through the eyes of the cross, next to the cross. The cross, over. At the cross, it can be over, and from the cross, you can go over. But we need to look to Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. Not your faith, Jesus. Jesus changes everything. The atmospheres change. Your words change. Your hearts change. We just need our eyes open. You don't need another point from me. You need your eyes open to what he's called you to do. Men don't give you destiny. They just confirm what God's already spoken over your life. That destiny did not come from the prophet. Go ask him a year later what he said. He said, I don't know. There's one in heaven that hasn't forgotten. Have you? Lord, open our eyes. The cross. Not a, not some, not any. The cross. That's first. And from there, you can go over. You see how it changed from Genesis to Revelation because of the cross. In Genesis, God had to make a son. In Revelation, there's no sun because he's that close to us because of the cross. It changed everything. There's no moon. There's no sun. It's light all the time because of Jesus. He's the sun. You don't need the S-U-N, the S-O-N. So all these millennials and these people, they think this earth is it. If you think this life is it, yes, you need to protect the earth. But as Christians, we know there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and he'll come down. I'm not saying we throw trash out the window, but I'm not consumed with it. I'm consumed with your soul. Because you can live your life, recycle, eat right, eat organic, die, and you will stand and you will be judged according to the cross. What did you say about the cross? Were you at the right cross and did you give your life? Because faith and belief in the Greek are two different words. One's a noun, one's a verb. Faith is like having cash. Belief is like spending it. It's two different words. See, we have faith. That's why Jesus says, believe on me. There's people that have faith, but they never act on it. There's people that have heard the gospel, believe Jesus is the only one, but they never act on it. Faith is like having the cash. Belief is like spending it. He wants you to spend the cash. Two different words in the Greek. Two different words. There's a reason why there's two different words. He's saying two different things. I don't care how they translated it. I don't care what he said. I don't care how you translate the promise over your life. It's what he meant. When he said prophet to the nations, he meant prophet to the nations. He didn't say prophet to your living room. And if God's called you to be a businessman and you want to be a missionary to Africa, friend, he's not in that. Notice I didn't say if you're being a missionary. I switched it. We always switch it. If he's called you to be a businessman, that's just as holy as a missionary to Africa. It's just as holy. We should lay hands on you and send you out. And when you walk in the boardroom, that's your Africa. That's the atmosphere you change. For far too long, we said, this is holy. That's not. No, God says, what I say is holy. Not what you say. A businessman is just as holy as a pastor. Yeah. That won't be on TV. Won't be in the stupid concordances. I don't care. I'm not going to stand and give my account to a bunch of theologians. It's God. Theology means the study of God. His desire was never meant to be studied. It was to be known. Yes. I have a degree in theology, but do you know him? They're walking with Jesus. They heard his words, the road to Emmaus, after he rose again, but their eyes were closed. Jesus opened up the scriptures, starting with Moses, to the Psalms, to the prophets, and they all pointed to him. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are what point to me. Jesus said, this is eternal life. He didn't say eternal life is living forever. Everybody's going to live forever, just where? He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God, and the one whom you sent. That's eternal life, knowing him. It's not principles and formulas. Those can't get you in the midnight hour when you're all alone. It's Jesus. I told Jehovah's Witness one time, I says, the Jesus you speak of does not even exist. There's no archangel. Jesus was the archangel dying on the cross. I go, that's no different than the tooth fairy. He just looks at me. Because when they say Jesus, they want you to go, oh. It's not the word Jesus, it's the person Jesus. They don't even use the word Jesus in many cultures. What do you do with that? They're talking about the same person. Are you talking about the same person? Formulas didn't save you. Formulas didn't give you a destiny. Steps didn't call you. It was a person, Jesus. Everything points to a person, and everything flows out from there. Are your eyes open to what, who he is, who you are, and what are you called to do? And I'll just write down, I'm just going to read some of the notes I read. God's desire today, open the eyes of our heart. Our hearts flooding our mind with thoughts from God and not our minds trying to convince our hearts. Our hearts flooding our mind with thoughts from God and not our minds trying to convince our heart. That's what happens when your heart is open. No one had to tell Jeremiah later that he's a prophet. No, he would say, I'm going to speak what he said. And you see Jeremiah, from he says, I'm too young, disqualified. And you see him later, willing to be imprisoned and abused. And he goes, I'm not going to change my words because I've seen. Paul said, I heard a voice and I saw a light. I saw. My eyes were open to the King of glory. John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation like he didn't see him on earth. On earth, he was cloaked in humanity. But in Revelation, that humanity was lifted, and he saw Jesus for who he really was, and he wasn't even able to stand. That's the Jesus we're talking about, where demons flee. Just two sticks. You come at me with sticks. There's a song, I Believe in Hell. Sticks and a stone may break my bones, and your name will ever hurt me. He despised David, the one from Bethlehem. Satan thought it was it. It's never it in your life until God says it's it. And there's some things he wants over. He wants over. Depression, he wants over. That sickness, he wants over. But it's at the cross. It's at the cross. At the cross. There's a hymn, "There's Room at the Cross for You," but I want to think of it like "There's Room at the Cross for You." I want you to think of it like not salvation, but your prayer request. There's room at the cross for you to bring your request. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. There's still power to be healed. He doesn't run out. There's room at the cross for you to bring your request with blood on it. And the Father looks at your request and he looks at what he already gave and he never says, "Well, I can't give that because it's more than that. That was it. I maxed out." Now, what you're asking for is secondary to Jesus. And why wouldn't you believe? Why wouldn't you believe? Amen? From the cross over. The cross. Everybody say, the cross. The cross. Next time you doubt or have a request or you think you're not to be healed, you're not worthy, when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't heal you on what you are or who you are, but what his son paid. Jesus changes everything. And the cross has changed it. There's an intersection in our life when we face the cross. We can't go around it. Can't go through it. We go to it. And from the cross, we can go over to whatever you think is impossible. It's hard for you to believe, but it's not hard for him to do. Don't exchange that. He's not you. He's not you. Amen? Let's put this over here. Yeah, I got that sermon online at sermons.com. No, I'm just going cost me $3. It was worth it. Lena goes, "Tell me yourself." I'm joking. Here's the truth. You don't need to be like anybody. I don't need a sermon from an internet, and you don't need to do your business like anybody else. You just need to do it the way God's called you to do. You need your eyes open to who you are. I'm just a housewife. No, you're not. As you're washing dishes, you can be pulling down principalities and powers so the missionary can come in. You can make money and it's holy to you and you can give it and there'll be missionaries in heaven. It's because you made money, I could go. And if you went, I couldn't have gone. I wish all the churches that God never started would shut down and all the pastors that should be pastors should start. Don't ever just let Satan disqualify you because God hasn't because of the blood. The blood still speaks. Calvary was not an act long ago that ended. It echoes still through eternity. We will never forget the cross. In Genesis, the tree of life was in one place. Revelation, it's in three. Genesis, there's one fruit. Revelation, each month has a fruit. Why is that? Because of Jesus. He changed everything. Before the fall, God would walk down in the cool of the day. In Revelation, his home is with us. Before the fall, he had to make a son. But because of Jesus, he is the son. We don't need the son. He changes everything. Not a principle, not a formula, not a key, not a step, not a door, a person. We get that right, the cross, everything else can align to that. You can bring your brokenness, your pain. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this. But at the cross, the ground is level. There's room at the cross for you. Everybody just close their eyes. Sometimes when you look at people, you start thinking about, oh, the sermon or the message or the this. I want you to think about your Savior. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? For the redeemed to cross over. You're redeemed. You're redeemed, but you need to cross over. The cross over. What has he called you to do? What has he said that you said, "I'm too. It's too late. I'm too this. I'm too broken. I'm too poor. I'm too this."
Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. You need direction next to the cross? Granted. You need a healing next to what Jesus gave? Done. Father, I thank you for holding nothing back at the cross. You gave it all. And you fooled Satan. If the rulers of this world knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Just two sticks. But you forgot the stone. The stone that sunk in the head of Goliath. The chief cornerstone that sunk in the head of Lucifer. Head representing authority and power. The crossover. God, I thank you. There's nothing impossible with you. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are not possible to everybody. It's only to him who believes. And whatever he's called you to do, he's already gifted you, anointed you, seasons and times, so you can walk in it. Jeremiah, before you were born, I called you a prophet to the nation, I ordained you, and I set you apart. And there's things that God has ordained and set apart for you. And so many times we don't walk in it because of our lack of faith, of our doubts. We look at ourselves. We look at ourselves and we look at our request. It's time for us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said, it is finished, but it's not I am finished. I'm going away and the veil was ripped. I'm sending the Spirit to one to walk alongside you that's just like me. So I thank you that your healing power, the blood's still fresh. It hasn't dried up. You still see Calvary, Father. You still see Calvary. And from the throne, he executes from what accomplished on the cross. Forgiveness, healing, power, and might.